Rejoice. Today is the Sunday of rejoicing. This is Laetare Sunday. We have hit the midpoint of Lent, and in just 3 weeks, we will be celebrating together the great joy of Easter. To show this joy, priests traditionally wear rose, not pink, vestments, and we even have roses adorning the altar, even though this is the penitential season of Lent. Most importantly, hopefully we've taken Lent seriously enough that that love of God has been rekindled in our souls, a love that is really beyond our comprehension. Within our hearts and in our ears should be burning the beautiful words that our Savior spoke, God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. To help us appreciate this and to rejoice on this Laetare Sunday, we have the beautiful parable that we often call the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I think, and Pope Benedict agrees with me, that we should rename this the parable of the merciful father, because it really tries to capture the heavenly father's mercy. Parables were stories used to convey a mystery. So rather than just teach some kind of theology lesson, the story used commonplace characters, circumstances, and events that could draw the listener into the story and make that person re-examine his life. The parable was meant to, like, shock a person into appreciating the mystery. And so it is here. So our Lord tells this beautiful parable, and keep in mind, he's telling it to the scribes and the Pharisees who are hard-hearted, who criticized Jesus for eating with the tax collectors and sinners, whom they had thought were irredeemable. So our Lord wants to shock them and really shatter their hardened hearts to appreciate the love that God is pouring forth, specifically through him. So we have this story. Here we have this father who owns an estate. Not a bad place to live. He has two sons. He loves his sons generously. Remember, though, love is always a free gift. Love is not forced. And so our Lord is trying to show us how much the Heavenly Father loves us in an infinite way. After all, our very life breath is a gift of God's love. Who we are, with all of our talents, all of our blessings, is a gift from a God who loves us so much. We not only have physical life, though, and not only the blessings of this life, we have the life of grace, won through us, won for us through our Savior. So at baptism, we have been freed from sin, and the divine life of God, sanctifying grace, has been infused into our souls. We share in the love of the Holy Trinity. We have been recreated as a child of God. We also have become part of God's family that we call a church. And the church becomes our home. We live in this love. This is why here at Mass, we truly should rejoice. Here, we hear the living Word of God. And also in a few moments, we celebrate the Holy Eucharist. To think that we share in the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, that we have this sanctifying grace renewed and fortified, is a tremendous gift. We are given then this beautiful gift of God's love. Hard for us to comprehend, but this is what we believe. And really, this is the point of the parable. The Father has given all of this to his sons. Now, we hear, though, the youngest son wants his share of the inheritance. Then he goes off to the distant land. Well, I'll have to edit this version, but if I asked my father for my share of the inheritance when I was like 18 years old, so the edited version would be this, go as you came, meaning you came into this world naked, you can leave home naked too. So, but this father actually gives the younger son, which would have been one-third of the property, the older son would receive two-thirds, one-third of the property. Because you can't coerce someone to live in love. Love's a free gift. It's lived in freedom. And therefore, the son goes off to the pagan distant land. He loses all of his inheritance. He ends up caring for pigs. He even hopes that he could have some of the food that the pigs have. Well, for a Jew, you cannot get any worse than this situation. The book of Leviticus of the Torah said, "Cursed be the man who cares for pigs." So this young son has lost everything. He has hit rock bottom. Consider this. Sin is a violation of love and freedom that we share with God, neighbor, and ourselves. That's what's happened to the son. For all of his so-called freedom, he's ended up a slave. For all the so-called pursuit of his own self-love, he's ended up without love. So many people do. Think of our world today. Isn't it sad that so many people end up being slaves to material things or money or alcohol or drugs and so on? It's a violation of the freedom and love that God wants us to have. But that's the choice that they made. And how many hit rock bottom? But what happens is beautiful. The younger son finally looks up. He remembers the love the father has shown him. He finally appreciates that love. Look at all that I had lost. So he repents. He says, "I've sinned against God. I've sinned against my father. I don't even deserve to be called a son." And he goes home. Now, he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, "Oh, poor me, I'm the victim of all of this." He doesn't rationalize things. He is repentant. He is contrite. When the father sees him, here again, this infinite love comes to play. The father runs to him, embraces him, kisses him without saying a word. The son, again, repeats his repentance, and the father, again, saying nothing, has him clothed in a robe, a ring on the fingers, sandals on the feet. It's like he's been restored to the life that he had been given up. That's an infinite love of God. And my brothers and sisters, consider this. We might right now be a little bit uneasy because we think, well, what about the older son? He's the good guy. He stayed at home. This doesn't seem fair. But ask yourself this, especially those of you who are parents. If you had a child like this, would you not still love that child? A few weeks ago, I told the story of a young man I knew, and he was the first one to go to school in his family, meaning college. His parents were so proud of him. First semester, started smoking the weed, drinking, even becoming an alcoholic, having the sex. Eventually, in a drunken stupor, assaults a girl. He's arrested, thrown out of college, put on probation, and so on. But his parents still loved him. It doesn't make what he did right. But he was truly sorry, and his parents loved him. And his parents helped him get back on his feet. And I can say years later, he's very successful. But that's the love that God has for us. We all make mistakes. Now, we might not be like this prodigal son, but all of us would have to say that we've all at times abused our freedom, abused that love, and have chosen to sin. But God loves us. And this is why we have a Savior. This is also why we have the sacrament of penance. The night of Easter, the first act of our Lord was to appear to the apostles and say, "What sins you forgive are forgiven." He gave us the sacraments, including penance, so that we wouldn't have to stay stuck in the mire, hit rock bottom. We could be forgiven. So when we go to penance and we pour out our humbled, contrite heart and we hear those words of absolution, we are forgiven. Grace is restored. We begin again. And it is like we start our baptism again. Therefore, take the time for a good confession this Lent. This is so important because, again, we're all in some way like the son, who have abused our freedom, who have abused love, who really have sinned against God, neighbor, and self. But the mercy of God is there. A beautiful story I have from my other parish goes back to the late 90s. I remember I was in the rectory office and I received a call, and the call was a man asking for me to visit his friend, we'll call him Richard. So Richard, who was dying. So wasn't registered, I didn't know him, didn't know the man who called, but I went. Turns out the man is dying of AIDS. As I listened to it, the story is that this man, Richard, had been married, two children, abandoned them, left home for a different kind of lifestyle. And all of a sudden, he gets AIDS, and he is dying. It'll be a few weeks yet, but he is dying. And he realizes he wants to come back. It's time to get back to God. And so I can say he made a thorough confession, he received anointing of the sick, and he was able for a few weeks to even come to church. Now, to look at him in church, one would say, that man is dying. That's how bad it was. And people sometimes wondered, who is this? But I can say, too, that he died reconciled. When we had the funeral, by that time, he'd been reconciled with his wife, with his two children, his parents, and with God. And so, that's the infinite mercy of God. And sometimes we can't comprehend it unless we've been there ourselves, like the younger son. So again, time for confession. But then we have the older son. Now the older son is upset. Now I can see why the fatted calf was upset, but why is the older son upset? And notice what he says. For years now I have served you. The better translation would be, I have slaved for you. He considers himself a slave. I have followed all your orders, like he's some kind of hired help. And then when this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, comes back having spent his money with prostitutes. Well, how did he know that? He wasn't there. Maybe he's a little envious. What's his problem? His problem is also he doesn't appreciate love. He thinks he's under coercion. Is that the way we are? Are we here because we feel coerced, that this is just an obligation? Shame on us if that's the case. We should be here in response to the love of God, who has loved us so much. We're here to worship God. This is a beautiful event by which we renew our love for the Lord, listening to His Word, celebrating the Holy Eucharist. When we go forth from here, do we go off saying, well, I'm free from all of that, now I can go back to my pagan land? Or do we leave here and say, yes, I'm going to live in the love of God, and my home is going to be like a little sanctuary, a church. The Lord is truly going to be the Lord of my home. Too often times I think we don't appreciate what we have, and we become like thinking we're the hired hand. We're coerced. We're just obeying orders. We're compulsed in some way. Shouldn't be that way. It's about love. Because what else would we choose? Whatever we think might be better will never satisfy us. And whatever we think might be better won't give us true freedom, but probably slavery. So let us rejoice that we are here. So Lent's a good time to ponder. Notice that when the father acts, whether with the younger son or the older son, neither says anything. Maybe we need to be quiet this day and ponder the love of God. And think about these two characters, because we really are a little like both characters. But if we can appreciate better the love of God this day through this story, shown to us through our Savior, then guaranteed when Easter comes, we'll truly rejoice in the love that God has poured out for us. May God bless you.